Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
It's a good time.
Spending Sunday mornings together. Always love it because we have good debate. We have good conversation.
Here's John Kincaid.
And I welcome you aboard the second half of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Where you been? Did you miss the first half of the show? Let me give you a little cheat sheet. If you decide to sleep in and cheat on me with your sleep number bed or your pillow, you can always go to the radio.com app and you can rewind and listen to the entire show whenever you want. There's been some brilliant stuff so far that you don't want to have missed. You can listen on SiriusXM 206 or, of course, our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We love every one of you. When you spend more time with us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Anthony, by the way, I meant to send it to you, and I didn't. And I sent the person a note, and I'm trying to find if I can find it. A gentleman sent me like a 90-second clip of one of the shows on one of our affiliates that cuts away from the John Kincaid Show. And it was the one where people can trade stuff that they've got. And it's this clip of the host bringing on a caller, and the caller had a refrigerator that was a little beaten up, but he thought it would make a great beer fridge, and he was literally describing the refrigerator that you could buy, and he's talking about this thing going, this would make a great beer fridge.
Yeah, I have heard those shows, and the only reason I have is because I listen to Howard Stern, and yes, the guys on that show, they frequently will prank that show.
Oh, well, this is one of our affiliates, and then they're a fine affiliate, and I think they carry, he said, 3 hours of it, except for this, like, swap show or whatever it was. And the guy goes on to describe this refrigerator. And he says, well, what are you looking for it to get for it? And he goes, well, if someone will come and pick it up, I'll take $10. And he described this refrigerator like it was an HGTV show. Like, as well, if someone will come and get it. And then he proceeded to give the street that he lives on so people would know what section of town he lives in. It's like he's giving out his address on the radio. I mean, the thing, I'm telling you, there's that's a slice of Americana. That is a slice of Americana. Unbelievable. Our friends from Rocket Mortgage want to help you adjust those payments, closing costs, your loan options. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage, for being a sponsor here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. We cleaned out a lot moving, Anthony. We cleaned out a lot of stuff. And what I found out is the girls have little regard for dad having any space. And they've just got to have tons of space. The girls got to have space.
Anybody hoarding in your house?
What? Hoarding. Okay. Hoarding.
Oh, shit.
Yes, there are. My daughter at 16 going on 17. I think that was a song from The Sound of Music. She is 16 going on 17. Won't throw anything away. She's got tons of blouses and shirts and jeans and everything else. She's got a closet that, honestly, the Kardashians would tell her to dial it back a little bit. Not getting rid of nothing.
So you have no problem tossing?
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. But it's like there was furniture in the house. I had an office. Okay, I no longer have an office. But somehow there were two pieces of furniture in my office. Okay? So I lost my office. So I lost my desk, and I lost this other armoire, which was a piece of furniture that I had loaded up with my stuff in it. Well, I was informed that the armoire is no longer mine. That's my wife's now.
Wow.
She needs that. So I have, like, so my stuff is in, like, boxes, as if I was going to be moving or something. I've been thrown out. I'm like literally been thrown out. I am squeezed out. I am the king without a castle. I am the king without a kingdom. I have absolutely, honestly, I am just there. I'm just there to crank out the money. Make money, Dad. Just make money, Dad. You have no rights in your own home. You have no space. No rights in your own home.
Yeah, at least the clothes are still in the house and not on the front lawn.
Unbelievable. Well, that's well, we don't have a front lawn now. Now we have a common area. Yeah. So now it's
on the sidewalk.
But I'll tell you though, Anthony, the amenities. Oh man, the amenities. Sweet. I have always wanted to live in a high rise. I've always wanted to live in like in a condo in the sky. I've always wanted to experience that. And now I'm going to get to experience that.
Got a fancy gym in the place?
Oh, yes. Yes. Resort pool. Resort style pool. All that kind of stuff. I've always wanted to have that stuff in the place that I lived. So now we're going to test this out until Olivia's done high school and then figure it out, get a house again. So we're going to test this out. And you never know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the next month or two.
Yeah, who knows? Yes. Who knows?
Could be some more cryptic tweets this week, baby. You liking that? Last night's Clemson upset. And yes, Clemson was upset. And a gentleman here who's a Notre Dame fan is so upset with me. Sends me a missive. That's a note. Sends me a note and just says, you refuse to give any credence at all to Notre Dame's victory over Clemson. Trevor Lawrence being out of that game meant nothing. Did you see the stats that DJU put up in the game? And then I see my buddy Booger McFarland from ESPN. Love Booger. Booger McFarland puts up 29 of 44 for 439 yards and 3 total touchdowns. Those were DJU's stats. So don't say having Trevor Lawrence would have made that much of a difference. Booger! Did you watch the game? Did you watch it? Are you kidding? I mean, seriously. If you're watching that game, you're out of your mind. Clemson has the ball. I believe they're up a touchdown. Less than 2 minutes to go in the game. All they needed is a first down to end the game. And they ran the ball 3 times. Do you think the same play calling exists with Trevor Lawrence? No, it doesn't. Come on, Booger. Trevor Lawrence does not lose that game. A game that they lost in double overtime on the road with DJU at quarterback. Give me a break. Now look, if you're Notre Dame, celebrate. Celebrate. And I'll ask the question, why was Trevor Lawrence at the game last night? Why was he there? So he's not playing. Why should he have been there after testing positive for COVID? Why was he on the sideline? Why should he have been there? That doesn't make any sense. Again, I'm not worried about Trevor Lawrence and coronavirus and the COVID-19 testing positive for COVID. But wow, the students on the field too, by the way, some really good job of the students for wearing masks as they stormed the field. Did you see that sea of green, Anthony? That was quite a show by Clemson and Notre Dame last night. A really exciting game, but the upset means little. Notre Dame upset Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. And I'll put the spread of the ACC championship game at 16.5. I'll lay it right now. There's 16.5. You want it or not? You got to decide, because give me a break. Clemson will still be in the college football playoff. They're still going to be there. And they still deserve to be there. And with Trevor Lawrence, they are there. And I've had, I've been telling you who the top four is in college football every single week, so why don't I go and do it right now?
Every week, John Kincaid puts the top teams in college football on notice. It's time for JK's Playoff Four.
And we're ready to go. My Playoff Four. I'm going to go this. I'm going to take a different route for you. How about that? I'm going to go Alabama number one. They've been number one in mine for 3 weeks now. So Alabama number one. Ohio State two. Ohio State two. Clemson three. And Notre Dame four. Yes. Clemson three. Notre Dame four. Don't at me. I'll see you in around 6 weeks. If you're offended by that. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. That is my first four in the world of college football.
Hey, what did Cincinnati do to deserve to get knocked out?
They were Cincinnati. By the way, I think Cincinnati's a really neat story. I think BYU's a really interesting story. I think they're an interesting story. There's interesting stories out there in college football, ones that deserve it. That definitely deserve to be talked about. But let's be honest, folks. Let's get to it here. Let's be honest. There is a there's a difference between who you play. And in a conference-only season where you're not having these crossover games, I think it's even more important who you play. That's even more important to deciding your resume and deciding your viability. 855-212-4CBS, our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or whether you own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home's hard work, so I want you to get a quote right now. Well, you can wait till 10 o'clock Eastern time. They're going to be there for you at geico.com. It's that easy. It really is. It's that easy. I am very much looking forward to a slate of NFL games where we get to talk about whether teams can show us what they're all about. Anybody else having doubts about the Baltimore Ravens? Shouldn't you be? Shouldn't you be doubting them right now? Ravens today going on the road where they have been extremely impressive, taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Ravens a road favorite just by a slight margin of 1 point. But you have questions about the Ravens? After the last 2 years in the postseason and seeing what teams do when you line up against the best competition in a playoff scenario and you see what teams were able to do to Lamar Jackson, it's got to give you concern. But Ravens-Colts, this is a game right here. It's going to tell me one of these teams wants to make a run in the postseason. I would think both these teams are going to want to be able to control some of it by having lesser opponents and having games at home. This game's going to go a long way to determining that with both teams at 5-2. And tiebreaker scenarios down the line. This is one you're going to want to watch today with the Ravens and Colts. Again, a game where you have to say put up or shut up. Lions are going to be without Matthew Stafford, reportedly, taking on the Vikings. The Vikings at 2-5 were looking like the dumpster fire that they've been, but wow. They win today, they're 3-5. They at least add some semblance of credibility at being able to make a run at a wild card in a year. They would need some teams to drop off in the NFC West if that was going to happen. I told you before, Saints Buccaneers seems like a, you know, changing of the guard routine. The Saints have been the best team in the NFC South for a while. Pretty much Sean Payton and Drew Brees' tenure. There have been years where the Falcons have risen up and made a statement. Carolina would have a year here, the year there. But the Saints in the tenure of Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been the team. This game tonight seems like one of those changing of the guard type of situations. Buccaneers win it. If the Saints drop to 5-3... then they're probably looking at a road trips to try to win in the postseason. And right now, I'm not thinking that seems like a viable option. I'm looking for these games like the Bills and the Seahawks. Seahawks playing incredible football. 6-1 going in to play the Bills. If the Bills are going to be that team that goes to the Super Bowl, like I predicted that they would, this is a game I believe they've got to have. Because they've been exposed. They've been beating up on some weak sisters and then stumbling their way to some embarrassing losses. If the Bills go out to a loss today against the Seahawks, I'm officially not believing that a January run is in the cards for them. So we'll have to check that out. And Bears-Titans, this is another one. Can the Titans win? Can the Bears win? I mean, right now, Titans need this one to show that, to get people to believe again that they're for real. But I don't know that anybody's believing that the Bears are for real. It's just a lot of games today that have some very compelling angles to them that we're going to be watching and talking about here on the John Kincaid Show in the coming weeks. Dennis Dodd talks college football with us from CBS Sports around 38 minutes past the hour. But I'd love to chat with you. You can join us at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Major League Baseball has 1 year before a lockout. And yes, there will be a lockout. December 1st, 2021. Put it on your calendar. But this last year may be the most exciting ever. Intrigue. JK Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. He can sing, hum, or recite almost every TV theme song. And he's actually proud of that. Go figure. Back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We never had the voice remote till now, Anthony. We got the voice remote. Do you have this?
No, I don't.
I'm not going to give a free commercial to who we've got, but they have a voice remote. So all you got to do is hit the little blue button on the remote and say, like I had to set shows to tape. So I had to like hit the blue button and say, tape, record General Hospital. And General Hospital pops up on the screen and you say, record, and you set your recording things. You can just say to your remote, CBS. And it switches the TV, it changes channels to CBS. You can say, CNN. And it switches to CNN. You don't have to remember numbers. So it's sort of like your phone. There you go. All right, a lot of people want to get in at 855-212-4CBS. I want to get to all of you and make sure we have time. Dennis Dodd discusses the upside-down, topsy-turvy world of college football with us. That big cocktail party outcome, the Notre Dame game, and more. Coming up, Miles in Alabama jumps on board. Miles, what's going on? You're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Miles. How's Alabama this morning?
We're good. Resting up, getting ready for LSU.
Well, you better get ready for that. Better get ready, too.
Yeah, I know. Down there, it's a different atmosphere.
It could be. Yeah, it's a little bit different. Even with 20,000 people.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you. Everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence this, Trevor Lawrence not playing that, even last week. But do you not think the bigger story is Clemson giving up 47 points, even in overtime to Notre Dame?
I got to tell you, I think that is that was disappointing to me. That is a disappointing performance. But to me, I don't worry about scores of games that go to overtime, especially multiple overtimes. I really don't care about obsessing on the score. But what I did see was, I think Clemson's defense adjusted as the game went on and played better than they had played early on. So I'm gonna give them a little miss on that one. I'm anxious to see a Florida Alabama matchup. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait. I also wanted to see, do you think that Ohio State coming into the season late, you think they'll be fine, their normal self, or you think that'll help or hurt them?
It might help them. It might actually help them. And I just wonder if they're going to be tested, though, in the Big Ten. You know, if they're going to get tested. Todd in Cleveland jumps on board. Todd, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
Yo, John, I'm in a perpetual state of struggle. That's not what I called about. In reference to your question, am I amongst the public that are doubting the Ravens? Nope.
The Ravens look like just what they've been, first round and out playoff team. But don't sleep on them. They played the Steelers tough. And but not for those turnovers, they probably would have beat the Steelers.
Wait a minute. That's like saying Mrs. Lincoln, except for the shooting, how'd you like to play?
That's exactly, I mean,
you can't
exactly
do,
what I'm saying.
You can't do that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But this, unlike that, this can be corrected. There was no comeback for what happened to Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
This is something that could be fixed, the four turnovers. The Steelers have a high level of concentration. They're going to come back to the fold. They're not going to stay out in front like that. In fact, I doubt they even win the division. So
Wow.
I mean that. And that's not just coming from my bitterness from being a loyal Browns fan, and I intensely have sports hate for the Steelers. I actually can get past that a little bit. They just have a high level of concentration, and their concentration is better than their skill set. And I expect, and I'm telling you this on live radio, the Cincinnati Bengals are about to help the Cleveland Browns out because they're going to get the Ravens and the Steelers.
Wow. Now
like
I got to tell you this.
Titans.
Well, I got to tell you this, Todd. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be off the air because I'll be up at my mom's funeral that weekend and her celebration of her life. But the Eagles and the Browns play. So, I mean, that would have been a good one to be able to talk some trash with you. Maybe we'll do that next week. Thank you, buddy. Rob in Charlotte joins us. Rob, you're on the John Kincaid Show. What do you got to say on Lamar Jackson?
Man, Lamar Jackson just needs some more help, man. That's the problem, man. That's why he'd be tired. The playoffs, you know, he out of gas. I mean, give him the weapons Patrick Mahomes got. Nobody be talking about him.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look at the weapons for a year and a half that Carson Wentz has had. I want to hear about him not having weapons. Carson Wentz would drool to have the weapons.
The line is weapons too. Am I correct?
Yeah, and you're telling me they're terrible? I mean, right now, look, the Eagles had three fill-ins on the offensive line and no wide receivers, and their star running back out. And I mean,
Carson Wentz had a freak injury. You know what I'm saying? You can't.
Well, I'm just saying. It's freaky.
Man,
I got
football.
You.
I mean, I stopped playing football. I was a junior high, had a major concussion. My head ringing all day, every day.
Was it really?
It took about two years for it to stop.
It took about two or three years for it,
a good while for it to stop. That's why I stopped playing football. I transferred to playing basketball then. I was good in basketball.
Don't you get whacked in the head in basketball too, though? Especially if you take it to the rim.
Not like football, because you know, I play defense. I hit you. I like to hit you.
All right, man. Have a great day. Love that. He likes to hit people. That's my kind of guy. Frank in Omaha, Nebraska joins us. Good morning, Frank. You're up early with me. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Glad to have you on the show. What's going on?
I would like to say I will take Notre Dame. You're 16.5 points, and I would love to take your money.
Well, we can't bet on the radio. We're not allowed, but like we can do, maybe we'll find something fun to do before the ACC title game. Because I will give any Notre Dame fan 16.5 point head start with Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to be highly motivated.
Notre Dame plays to the level of their competition. They always have. Now, granted.
Yeah, but they rarely win. Here's what I'm saying, though. They rarely win. So how do they play to the level of their competition?
Well,
they rarely beat any. Yeah, but they rarely beat any good teams. They beat bad teams, and they rarely beat good teams.
They did go into overtime, but they could have scored two more touchdowns where they blundered the ball. They dropped the ball off the goal line. Yeah. He fumbled the ball going in.
And
so
you know what they say about that? If the queen had a royal scepter, she'd be the king. So I appreciate it. We can't do the what-if game. Thank you, buddy. Craig in Charlotte jumps in. Craig, you're in the John Kincaid Show. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Craig. What's going on, buddy?
I'm good. I'm always in Atlanta, too, for business, so I listen to you down. I mean,
thank you so much.
Awesome. Okay.
You used to.
Follow me here just a second because I'm going to explain. I went to NC State, so go Pack. But Trevor, while he was on the sideline last night, is the ACC, their protocol is an immediate test, then another one, and then there's a blood test they do. So once he goes negative for those two, which he did, then he's allowed to be with a mask. He's allowed to be around people because those say that he's not contagious.
Well, he didn't have a mask. A few of the shots, he did not have a mask.
Oh, well, if he took his mask off, that's a whole different thing.
Well, here's what I'm saying, too, is then why isn't he playing?
Because they're waiting on the blood test because they're testing for antibodies or anything else that it could come back to him and just confirm one more time, really, that it is definitely a negative, not a false negative.
I think I think if you are not able to play because of the COVID-19, you should not be on the sidelines.
I agree 100%. I'm just explaining the ACC.
Oh, okay, and guess what? They've had great success because the ACC has had a lot of people test positive since the summer, and they haven't had problems. So
yeah,
they've been doing a good job of it.
The other thing is your buddy, I just want to mention, he talked about the guys, the Steelers are going to come back to earth and all this stuff. Well, obviously, he owned some of the Pittsburgh Steelers, now owns my Panthers. He's about winning. He don't care about hosting the Super Bowl. He wants to win one. The Steelers tradition, it's just a winning culture. So when those other teams, Cleveland, Cincinnati, whoever, show me something, then I'll start believing.
I've said it before that I believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the legit gold standard franchise in professional sports. People talk about the Yankees. People talk about everything. The Pittsburgh Steelers do it in a sport where everybody's on an even playing field. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have been good when I was in middle school, when I was in elementary school, high school, college, and after. So I have utmost respect for what the Steelers managed to accomplish over and over again.
We always serve football with a side of strong opinion. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
True story. This is Dennis Dodd's ringtone. This is his ringtone. Yes. Ring the doorbell at his house on Halloween. This is the song that plays. I mean, it's really exciting stuff. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I told you, it's like sitting in on a doctorate class of college football when you get to discuss, converse, match wits with CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, who joins us now on the show. Dennis, the Halloween candy. Now, you're a runner. And you're a guy that, takes good care of himself, tries to stay in that great physical condition. How much of the Halloween candy did you get into? Be honest.
Oh, God, a lot. Licorice. And
licorice?
What else?
Licorice.
Yeah, we had individually wrapped licorice. I'm a big Twizzlers guy. So
you're a Twizzlers person.
Yeah, I can eat that on a plane for 3 hours.
Do you smuggle that into the movies when you go to the movies?
Yeah, instead of paying $8 for it, I do.
That's the way to do it. All right, I'm trying to figure something out today, and I knew the voice of reason of having you on the show would help me out. Is the idea is that I tend to sometimes overrate a win or a loss and read too much into it. So we start with Clemson going down yesterday without Trevor Lawrence. I look at the play calling even down the stretch when Clemson was leading, and I'm like, look, if they had got one more first down, it would have been over. But they were running the football and afraid to put it in the air. And I think with Trevor Lawrence, they would have put it in the air. So I really think that's a game that the Clemson would have had 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think 10 times out of 10. They led in that game for as long as it was, as broad as it was, for 3 minutes. They led 33-26. And then they led in the first overtime, which is untimed, and that was it.
Right.
I think the fatal flaw, if there was a fatal flaw for Clemson, and there were a lot of mistakes, was going ahead with 3:33 left in the game and Notre Dame getting two possessions and then capitalizing on one of them with 22 seconds left to tie the game at 33. The Clemson's last possession in regulation lasted all of 22 seconds, I think. Travis Etienne ran out of bounds on a play, on a running play. There were penalties that stopped the clock, and whether the officials should have wound the clock or not, I'm not sure. After a penalty, I think they should have, but no one made a big deal out of it last night. But that was a flaw. And the Clemson defense was shorthanded all game, and at the end was just flat-out worn down.
When you talk about being shorthanded, it brings us to the cocktail party yesterday. They don't want us to say that anymore, but I'm a rebel. With Georgia and Florida, is this a win that Dan Mullen can say, yep, we've turned the corner, we've turned the tide, we are now the kings of the SEC East? Or do you look at it as Georgia just went into that game totally undermanned?
A little bit of both. I thought that going in that Florida had the advantage because they could win a game 48-17 or whatever, 48-24, whatever it ended up being yesterday. It was going to look a lot like, you know, the Alabama game with Georgia, in that Georgia had a defense, but as Nick Saban has famously said the last 2 weeks, offenses win games. And you know, even when they fell behind 14-0, I think Florida went on a 38-7 run, and that was that. So, yeah, are they kings of the SEC East? Yep, they have to follow through. They have to win it, and they're damn close right now. And then they have to beat Alabama to win the conference. But Georgia had been in their heads for the last three in a row, six out of the last nine. And Dan Mullen, you know, the quarterback whisperer of all quarterback whispers, may have bred a Heisman winner yesterday.
When you see Kyle Trask, what he's doing, it's absolutely incredible. And the questions are going to come back, though, to Kirby Smart about, how did you let Justin Fields get to Ohio State?
Yeah.
But the only thing is, Dennis, I say to everybody, how could Kirby Smart have taken the ball away from, you know, he's got a quarterback, he's got a kid that just took him to the national championship game and walked off the field winning in overtime against Alabama. How could he have taken the ball away and given it to a guy like Justin Fields? I don't know how you could have done that.
No, he couldn't. And it was just one of those, at the very, very top of the food chain where you can ask that question. You know, people say he's recruited too many quarterbacks. That's a great problem to have because you have your pick. And they quote-unquote picked from. Justin Fields was more or less unproven. Now, they recruited him there with a chance to play football and start early. But, you know, I think he did the right thing at the time. And now they're down to a four-stringer, which may be the difference in their season for, you know, injury purposes and everything else. The great unanswered question, JT Daniels must be way, way worse than anyone thinks. He was cleared to be on the field in practice. He even got close to being in a game. So did they win that game yesterday with JT Daniels? I doubt it. With him at his peak, that it may be more competitive, but Florida's really, really good offensively.
Tell me, Dennis Dodd, what is happening with the end of the Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan. I would have to believe this is the end of it. And I've never, I just, for whatever reason, I have not bought into his sales pitch up there, and I've always wondered why I believed he was underachieving. Is this the beginning of the end? And if it is, what's his selling point to an NFL team going forward? Because he was a quarterback. They can't develop quarterbacks.
Right. That is true. It's a layered, complicated question, and it's a layered, complicated answer, because here's a guy who's taken a team to a Super Bowl and did it in stages and developed players and did it with Colin Kaepernick. But, you know, and at the college level, going into this season, he hit his 723 winning percentage. There were only 10 coaches with a better winning percentage at their current school. But we all know how this ends. You know, hasn't won, hasn't beaten Ohio State. Now, the way the season started, there's two questions. Who do they get to replace him? And what's the exit strategy? I don't think they fire him. He won't allow that to happen as a Michigan man. There'll be a mutual parting of the ways. He'll go to the NFL. But again, layered thought. A college coach who has never so much as won a division, forget a conference title, not even a division, as good as he's been at Stanford and Michigan, is in this situation.
It's a strange thought. Now, tell me about James Franklin at Penn State, because honestly, that's a complicated situation. Right now, Penn State looks like a complete mess.
They look like they checked out yesterday. You know, 0-2, you can say, well, Indiana, and they got a bad call at the end, and, you know, that's that. Ohio State's Ohio State, but then not to show up against Maryland, who, all credit to Maryland with Talia Tagovailoa, is one of the pleasant surprises early on in the Big Ten. That yesterday raises all kinds of questions. You know, where is this team's head at? And if you look at the schedule, they could start 0-5. I don't think it's a James Franklin thing. I'm not going to put him in any kind of hot seat right now. I just think it's unfortunate. He's been great for Penn State, but like a lot of teams in that league, Ohio State's head and shoulders above everybody, and no one's gotten over them yet.
And that is the that is where everybody's trying to figure out is how's this whole thing gonna shake out. And right now, do you believe any of the dark horses, Cincinnati, BYU, or otherwise, are truly in the mix to be able to crash the party and be one of the final four teams?
Well, Cincinnati's got the only chance because BYU, its schedule, not even talking about Liberty right now, but they did beat. Went at Virginia Tech yesterday. But Cincinnati has a chance to enter the conversation, and here's how it starts. Everybody who's in contention loses twice. So then you're comparing an unbeaten American champion against two lost teams from other leagues. I think that's where the conversation starts. I'm not even saying they get in. But I will say this, Cincinnati in this unique year, it's probably the closest any of the group of five has come because I think they're legit. If you look at their schedule, they are going to end up playing, if they go undefeated, five teams that were either ranked when they played them or were ranked this year. Now, that's a stretch, but the schedule's representative and the American has separated itself from the rest of the group of five. But I what Luke Fickell's done there with the balance on offense with Desmond Ritter, we knew the defense was good. It's been amazing, but it'll be a stretch for them to get in the conversation.
I would think South Carolina's job is going to open up, and maybe some other prominent jobs in prominent conferences. Do guys regionally have to stay where they know the region? Like, would Michigan even consider talking to a Fickell down the line, and would Fickell even want to be considering talking to them?
Yeah, I think that would be tough just because they're rivals. And that's unfortunate because of the way the sport is that it automatically, you know, eliminates somebody because they're from the rival. I remember when Art Briles came up at Texas, and this is before everything else. I'm not talking about what happened with the scandal there. And Art Briles would have, I argue, maybe would have saved Texas football from where it is right now, this malaise it's in. But it was off the table with the money people because he was at Baylor and he was this crusty old guy and he didn't fit the image of Texas. And, you know, by gosh, that's unfortunate for Texas. But that is a thing in college football. You're right.
It's going to be it actually has been an interesting season. And it seems like the NFL has had more problems with COVID positive tests than college football has had. And I'm not reading that wrong, right? I mean, there have been many more as far as sort of widespread issues in the NFL than there have been in college football.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an open loop in college football. There's no bubble. They can't because they're college students. I think there were 10 games canceled or postponed yesterday, the most there's been.
Right.
17% of the 58 that were played, and the number has stayed at 14%. I still have my doubts how we're going to end up at the end of the season. You know, does Ohio State get through playing all the games? You know, Wisconsin's an absolute mess. And it changes every day. I think cases were spiking in 43 states this past week. Obviously, it's not gotten past the Pac-12. You know, they couldn't get through the first weekend without a postponement or cancellation. And the problem is with those leagues that don't have a bye week to make up games. And now we're getting towards the end of the season where not many teams at all have it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a rational argument for someone to make, sure.
All right, Dennis, I'm expecting you to stay away from the licorice. I can't believe licorice, though. Of all the candy in the world, licorice is your choice.
Well, and back in the day, bubblegum cigars.
Are you like the bubblegum cigars?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like baseball card gum?
I did, but not when it was rotten, not when it was stale.
Yeah, the smell of that was one of the most intoxicating things ever to me. The smell of baseball card. Yeah, I needed a patch for it. Hey, Dennis, great talking to you, buddy. Thank you, man.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Great to have Dennis Dodd on the show. Here on the JK Show, CBS Sports Radio. I love it when you follow along on Twitter at John Kincaid and get involved with the program, as they like to call it. So you can get to so many things with Dennis in a short period of time. He knows how to move from topic to topic, and I always appreciate that. So Major League Baseball may have a universal DH coming up next year. By the way, that season that will be right around the corner. It's going to come quickly. So there may be a universal DH that is in the mix. But also in the mix is whether they would do the expanded playoffs again next year. And one of the things that they've talked about is that the postseason this year, which had 16 teams in it, would turn into a 14-game postseason next year. So seven teams in each of the leagues make the postseason. But the bottom six, 2-7, playoff. 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. And the number one seed would get a bye week for the 3 games. So like a bye of 4 or 5 days. Do you want that? Do you want that at the end of a regular season? Do you want to play 162? If you're the best record in the National League or the American League, most likely you coasted to it at the end. You usually have 3 or 4 games at the end of the season where you can sort of empty your benches and rest your regulars and everything. Do you want 5 more days off? 6 more days off before you start the divisional series? It's one of those plans for Major League Baseball where on paper, I guess, wow, getting a bye week, getting some rest. In Major League Baseball, I don't think that's as important. Really don't think that's where they need to be, but that's just me, and Rob Manfred lost my number long ago. All right, coming up, a cataclysmic day for teams in NFL contention. We'll find out who's for real, will we? Maybe. Next. 1 hour to go. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.